But the disciples, they're making no progress. The wind has been against them all night. And I'm just thinking, you know, they're in this boat, and it's now the third watch of the night. Is that what it, or is it the fourth watch of the night? Evening came in the fourth watch of the night. They've made no progress. So all night, I can't imagine how dark it was, how scary that was for them. And I imagine though too, you've got these 12 baskets of leftovers that may be with them on the boat. And this storm comes up, it's very dark. We experience that in our lives as well. Times of profound sweetness and intimacy with God, and then some difficulties arise, something really dark, a really tough night, a really tough season, a storm in whatever form it may be. So even just in this one night, that encounter is an encouragement that we not despair whenever storms arise. The disciples faced them as well. And Jesus came to them walking on the sea. So even as they are exhausted, they've been laboring, and they see someone walking on the sea. And again, the idea of miracles were no less amazing in their time than they are now. They had never seen someone feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They had never seen someone walk on water. They understood buoyancy and all the mechanics and, you know, physics that go into that as well as we do. So when they saw someone walking on the sea, again, this is the middle of the night, so probably the only light, consistent light that you have is from lightning. So just, wait, was that, that looked like somebody. And then another lightning flash had to be terrifying, and they thought that it was a ghost. But immediately Jesus speaks to them and says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." He comes to them to encourage them and tells them not to be afraid. That's the first thing that he tells them, take heart. But when he says, "It is I," he's using the same name that God used whenever Moses asked, when he was sent to go to Pharaoh, "Who shall I say sent me?" And he said, "I am who I am," or the name that the Hebrew people would use of Yahweh. So when Jesus was saying, "It is I," he's saying those words, "It is I, it is I myself." So they would have heard him say, "Take heart, the Lord is here, and do not be afraid." And then Peter says, "If it's you, Lord, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." I appreciate here that Peter, he asks permission. He awaits that word from the Lord. He doesn't just jump in the water on his own, but he checks with Jesus first. And then, empowered by God, Peter walked on the water. Jesus and Peter, two men who've ever lived who have walked on water. And Peter is a picture here for us of one who's walking by faith, empowered by God to do what he could not do on his own. And then later in the book of Acts, especially, we see God empowers the apostles, those that he sends, to do things they could not do on their own. But empowered by God, they could heal the sick, raise the dead, proclaim the kingdom of God has come among you. They were empowered by God. It's important that we know this was not just a movement of men who were very well coordinated. This was an empowering of God. So the fact that we're here today, over 2,000 years later, still looking at his word, still believing in him, we have faith, that's because God has empowered his people. He has moved through his word. He is still doing miracles. He can spread a table in the wilderness. He can walk on water. He can empower people even to do miraculous things like walking on water. And then Peter's eyes shifted from ultimate reality to the proximate, to the near, to the natural, to the here and now, the storm and the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. And we can resonate with that. You know, our faith can be pretty strong on a Sunday morning when the sun is out, had a good breakfast and a good night's sleep, feeling pretty good. Our faith is pretty strong until it's tested. until we encounter a storm, we encounter some difficulty. And storms are useful in that way. They reveal what we're clinging to. They reveal where our faith really is, what we're actually trusting in. That's when our hearts can sink, our eyes can shift to the here and now. We ask the question, Lord, don't you see? Aren't you aware of this timeline that I've got to make this decision before this or that? Aren't you aware, God, of this? If this happens, then there's all these other things that could happen. So Peter is a picture of our faith as well. There's this progression. There's faith, commitment, and faltering. Later we see that too. He confesses when Jesus asks him, who do you say that I am? He says, you are the Christ. He said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and bone, but by my Father in heaven. About the highest praise you could receive from the Son of God. And in the next episode, he's opposing the will of God, telling Jesus not to go to the cross. And he says, get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. But Peter here is, so take encouragement from Peter in that in our faith, we make progress, then there's faltering, and the Lord, we keep looking to him, the one who is able to reach out and take hold of us and catch us and hold fast to us. And that's what Jesus, what happened. He cries out, verse 20, he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Now, I don't know how fast that sinking was, but beginning to, but I know if you're standing on a dock and you step on the, you attempt to stand on that water, beginning to sink, that takes about a fraction of a second, right? So he cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him. So one thing, Jesus was strong. To be able to catch someone, he was strong. He was fast. It's good for us to know about our Jesus. When we cry out, Lord, save me, that's a prayer that he hears. And he responds with strength and with speed. That's our Jesus. So that's good to know. And then he speaks to him and says, you know, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He could have let him fall all the way in the water, thrash around a few minutes, get a few gasping, and then bring him up, but he didn't. He is strong and fast, and he is kind. And then they got into the boat together, because again, it was Jesus and Peter were out on the water. They get into the boat, and the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So the disciples have a, in these two episodes, the feeding of the 5,000, and then now Jesus walking through a storm on the sea to them, and it's calming the storm. They have a growing recognition of who he is, and they worship him. That is the right response. A God who can get to you through the storm, a God who can even stop the storm, is worthy of our worship. They're recognizing that Jesus can spread a table in the wilderness with leftovers to spare. They recognize Jesus is sovereign over nature. They heard him declare, I am, the name, the God's name. They've seen him walk on the water, meaning he can get to them, in no matter the circumstances, he can get through them to his people. And then he doesn't just stop the wind, he gets in the boat with them. That's why he was walking to them in the middle of the storm, to be with them. That was his desire. He wanted to be with his disciples, and he can do it. What he intends, he can accomplish. So most importantly in this account, when we see that the storm is calmed, we need to know that he can get through the storm to his people, or he can stop the storm. In this case, he did both. He got to them to prove that he can. He stopped the storm to prove that he can do that as well. That means he can accomplish what concerns you. Whatever storm you're in or that you will be in, he can get to you, or he can stop the storm. In our lectionary the past 2 weeks, we've been in Romans 8. And the question that's asked, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Or what? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, in the storm, in the tribulation, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to know that. We need to have that rock solid confidence that he is present. At the end of this gospel, Jesus promises disciples, I am with you to the end of the age. We need to never lose sight of his presence being with us. He can get to you. He can walk on water. And if you're with him and you ask him and he says, come, he can even empower you to walk on water. That's what he did with Peter. Now, Jonah's testimony, we're helped by him as well. We see that Jesus caught Peter before he was engulfed by the waves, but Jonah had a different picture and a different experience of the waves. Isaac quoted his prayer from the belly of the fish. Jonah is a picture of all of us and our helplessness. He was down at the bottom. I mean, no, absolutely no way of saving himself. He cries out to the Lord. And the Lord hears him. Again, Jesus is strong and he's quick. He responds and he actually commands that fish. He speaks to the fish and the fish vomits him out on the dry land. He prayed, though, that those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. An idol is anything that can't stop a storm. An idol is anything that can't walk on water or empower you. But a God who can walk to us on the water, even stormy sea water, a God who can stop the storm, a God who can command a fish to swallow you, keep you for 3 days, and then 3 days later, safely deliver you onto dry land, again, that's a God that we should worship. That's a God we should fear, trust. If we rightly fear that God, we won't fear anything else, the storm, the sea, anything else, because we know who the Lord is. If we make it our aim to please him, we won't worry about these lesser things. And we know that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Something interesting about Peter, it's not that he had an amazing amount of faith, but it was the object of his faith that saved him. He cried out, Lord, save me. And the Lord did, because his faith was in the right one, the one who could get to him through the storm, the one who could stop the storm. I appreciate scripture. It's full of accounts of people who either that worship and trust and fear the Lord, or who cling to worthless idols. And the story of Asa, one of the kings of Judah, is such a clear picture of this. One time, a million-man army comes out against him, and he relies on the Lord. And the Lord mightily delivers all those people into his hand. They don't even have to fight, and they're able to just spend, you know, collect all the plunder. But later, a king of Israel rises against him, and he uses political means. He uses some money from the treasury. He pays off the king of Syria to break his alliance with the king of Israel, and it seems that things go well there. The problem is averted, but a prophet comes to Asa and says, why did you not rely on the Lord? Wasn't he enough whenever a million-man army came against you? This was even a smaller thing. Why have you used political means? For the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro through the whole earth to give strong support to those whose hearts are loyal to him. The Lord is eagerly looking for those people who are trusting in him, whose faith is in him, who know that he can deliver his people. He loves to show himself strong for those who are clinging to him. Our psalm this morning speaks of the voice of the Lord that can strip the forest bare. All in his temple cry, glory. This is the voice of the Lord. And then that God who can cause these storms to come up and who can also calm the storms, that God shall give strength to his people. The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace. A God who can do those things, if he gives you peace, no one can take it away. And so this morning, I think this is we hear these things, and there have been many faithful messages preached on this passage about Peter and taking his eyes off Jesus, starting to sink, and amen. And there's a potential blind spot here, though, of we look at this passage, but then we go on and we might not really believe that there's nothing he can't do. But if we read this story faithfully, we recognize this Jesus is God in the flesh, and there is nothing that he can't do. He can walk on water. He can get to you through the storm. He can stop the storm. He will get in the boat with you. He wants to be with his people. That wasn't just the disciples. That includes today. Still, he can walk on water. He can stop storms. There is nothing that he is not able to do. And that God gives his people peace. So in the end, there's really two choices. We can either worship the God who walks on water, who causes storms to cease, who gives his people peace, or we cling to worthless idols. It's one or the other. And an idol is anything that can't walk on water, that can't stop storms, that can't feed 5,000 people along with women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fish. So it comes down to, what do we fear? What do we respect? What do we hold as ultimate? What do we worship? So when we come to this story, we need to pray as we just did, as we sang, as Brian and Leah led us. God, cause our faith to rise. Cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail. Let their truth prevail over unbelief. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who walked on water and who calmed the storm. Amen.